18. And we'll just read the first three verses. And then I'd like you to read, we should read Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Joshua chapter 18. And many years ago, in the Reformation years, they used to make it a plan to read each day, each Lord's Day, from the Old Testament and the New. It's a good practice. We don't do that all the time here, but this morning we will. A short passage from the Old and the New. One of the ways reasons we believe the Bible is the Spirit of breathed out Word of God is it matches. 40 different human authors wrote this book over a large spirit of time, a span of time, different countries, and yet it's one book. Joshua 18, verses 1 to 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Now let's turn to the New Testament. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. And it talks here after that God has made true Christian people partakers of a divine nature, and we too need to be diligent in these very things that he'll talk about. Let's read responsibly verses 5 to 8, and then we should bow for prayer. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge.
And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness.
And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity.
For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And shall we bow for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this Lord's Day. We're thankful for another day to participate in Trinitarian salvation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we ask that by your Spirit you would help us understand the Scriptures today and apply them to our lives. We pray that you would help us to be diligent and to overcome our natural laziness in spiritual things, and prosper us as we seek to hallow your name and as we seek to enjoy the reign of grace in all the ways your grace reigns over us and affects us. We pray for each person here today. We thank you for your being a God of knowledge, and thank you for knowing the circumstances, past, present, and future of each person here. Give us faith to cast our cares on you because you care for us. Give us faith and stir us to possess those things that we must energetically go after in order to possess them. Bless, we pray, O Lord God, this people today and across our needy land. Grant that heavenly manna would come to the souls of your hungry children today. Grant that we would be satisfied, and even those people who understand something of our faith but don't know it would see in us and say, those people are real Christians, real children of God. Bless us to that end, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. And if you would please take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 24. We were in Proverbs the first hour somewhat, and we'll be in Proverbs in this hour as well. Well, this is the last Sunday, the last Lord's Day of 2020. And appropriately, we can look back. I hope we will do at least some looking back. And then I hope we could do some looking ahead. And then most of all, and all importantly, looking up. So we're in Proverbs 24. We'll look at verses 30 through 34. You're probably aware Solomon was given great wisdom by God. And in 1 Kings 3:12, it says, God says, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. Solomon was young when he was probably an older teen. Couldn't have been much more than his early 20s, but he was young when he got that promise. And this wisdom was for the benefit of the people over which Solomon ruled, as well as following generations. That includes us. In our text for this morning, Solomon is going to describe a learning experience which took place as he was apparently traveling in his kingdom. And look at verse 30. And Solomon says, I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of a man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So your poverty will come like a prowler, and your want like an armed man. Solomon says he was walking in his kingdom or riding in his kingdom. And he looked on a piece of property and received instruction. If he could be instructed, and he was supernaturally endued with wisdom, he had a supernatural mind, gifted mind, to an unusual degree. And if he could be instructed, we could probably be instructed too. And this unfolds in three really, really simple points. And the first one is, we meet a lazy person. Verse 30. The residence that he went by was that of a slothful person void of understanding. The Holy Spirit and spiritually sensible people call lazy people fools. But fools, lazy people, rarely agree. They don't think they're fools. In Proverbs 26 and 16, it says, a fool is wiser than seven men can render reason. In other words, a lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than Einstein, Ben Franklin, Sherlock Holmes, all in one. He thinks he's the wise man. But he's really a fool. Solomon knew the character of the landowner without meeting him. It doesn't say, well, I knew this guy from we grew up together. It doesn't say anything like that, and that's not how he knew him. He says, I just looked at his property, and I could tell who lived there. One glance told it all. A glance at his field, at his vineyard, told his biography. You know, it is true that appearances can sometimes be misleading. Those who looked at the Lord and said, that can't be the Messiah. He's the carpenter. And in that case, and in other cases, appearances can be misleading. But in many cases, appearances are not misleading. Appearances tell a detailed, clear story. And that is the case here. Solomon just looked at it. He said, I'll just tell you who lives there. He's a lazy fool, void of understanding. Well, a lazy person, that's number one. Number two, look at verse 31, and we find a wasted property. And lo, there it was. He was looking at the property. Every Israelite family had an inheritance, a possession. We read a little from Joshua. Joshua said, now God has given you the possessions, now take them. And they had possessions, and they were handed down from generation to generation. The possession of the land belonged to the family generation after generation, except for the Levites, and they had Jehovah for their inheritance. You know, Adam, at the very beginning of human existence, had the happy privilege and responsibility both to enjoy and to take care of the garden, both things. It was his to enjoy, and it was his responsibility to take care of. And God blended it together, as he does for us too. Work and responsibility. Privilege and responsibility, they go together. You also are in some sense a parallel to this. For instance, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us are hopefully boasting. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has before prepared that we should walk in them. God has good works afore prepared for you to walk in. Responsibilities. They're both responsibilities and they're privileges. And they belong to you. And 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who hath called us not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Spurgeon said about this passage and those I just mentioned to you, if we are his children, he has not placed us where we're useless. No, you have a spiritual plot also. You have responsibilities. You have opportunities like this landowner. If President Trump surprised you by calling you, I mean you personally, and saying, I have a task I would like for you to do for me there in Virginia. I've made reservations for you. I can compensate your present employer for whatever time you're going to be gone. Can you be available? Well, if it was a real invitation, not to show up without a legitimate reason would really be an insult to President Trump, wouldn't it? I mean, if he asked you and said, look, I have some, I know a little bit, you don't know it, but I know about you, and I just, you would fit the bill for something I really need down there in Virginia, and I have, can you be there? Would you help me in this? You know, if you said, and you are goofing off somewhere, instead of, you'd say, man, he just insulted the president at a time when he doesn't need any more insults. Well, when we waste spiritual opportunities, we are displaying irreverent disrespect to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, aren't we? If he's calling and we're not listening, we're not picking up the phone, how can that not be disrespect? So let's notice this wasted property, and would you look please at verse 31 and look over the landscape. Solomon says, look at the landscape. It says, and lo, it was all grown over in the 1769 King James. The New King James says, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Thorns, all overgrown with thorns. And verse 31 goes on to say, and its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. So these thorns and these nettles that Solomon saw, did the lazy man plant them? What do you think? You think he went out and planted them? No, he did not go out and plant them. He did not need to go out and plant them. The land will produce something without anything being planted by you. The natural produce of the land, if it's not cultivated, plowed, raked, and those things that take labor, and in those days, I suppose, to an unusual degree, the natural produce will be thorns, nettles, weeds. That you can pretty much count on it. Back to you personally. You're only one of our families is a farm family, I guess. But heart and mind, your spiritual inheritance, your heart, your mind, your soul will also yield a natural produce. If your inner man is not cultivated by reading, by praying, by gathered worship, by fellowship with other believers, tell me what it will produce. Will it produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering? No. It will not produce those things. Those things will not come automatically. All that is necessary to have a heart and life full of spiritual thorns and nettles is neglect. That's all you need to do, and your crop will come in. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We won't. Neglect is all that is needed. We meet a lazy man, and we're now considering the second thing, a wasted property. You look at the property, Solomon looked at it and said, lo, there it was. Look at that thing. Covered with thorns and nettles. And he did not plant them. But there they are. Well, if it was just a piece of land, that would be one thing. But it's not just a piece of land that's really being discussed here, that at least for our sakes. Let's look just a bit more. Look at verse 31 again. Toward the end, it says, not only covered with thorns and nettles, the stone wall was broken down. As Solomon continued to look over the landscape, he said, you know, there's a wall that's broken down, and that wall used to be a marker, a border, a boundary marker of separation. And it marked where the cultivated vineyard ended and where the more or less uncultivated land lay. And there would be a big difference between those two. Once there was a clear-cut boundary there. You could say that's the wall. But look at the end of verse 31. The wall's all broken down. You can't, it's just a pile of loose stones. It's not dividing anything. There ought to be a division, but there is no division. Broken down. Well, you know, the Bible says in Exodus 33:16, for wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people on the face of the earth. Well, I guess so. If the Father, Son, if you're experiencing Trinitarian salvation and the rest of the race has suffered a fall, a complete fall in Adam, I guess there would be a real separation, wouldn't there? Shouldn't there be? Well, no more, not in this case. Here is a case where the vineyard is just synonymous with the wilderness. There just seemed no break, just a pile of stones that used to be a wall. And so it is with a spiritual sluggard. He or she looks, talks, and thinks like the untamed, untended, unregenerate society in which they live, where the land lay. Little, if any, difference. You just look at the vineyard, you say, where's the wilderness or where's the vineyard? I can't see any difference. Humor, largely the same. Entertainment, largely the same. Priorities, largely the same. Except, you get the idea. That is just not a good state. Well, we come to the third thing. And a clear instruction. So we see a lot. This is the last Sunday in 2020. This has been an unusual year for the United States and for the world. And I'm not sure everything's going to be all right, all right, all right, all right. Everything's going to be all right. You know, I rather doubt, you know, whatever he meant by that, I don't think it's going to be that way. Do you? Is that way it's shaping up to you? So we should look back. This is a good day to look back. And this is a good day to look ahead. A good day indeed to look ahead. So we come to the last thing. Look at number three here. We have clear instruction. You know, Hebrews, look at his, Solomon talks in Proverbs 24, verse 32. He says, when I saw it, I considered it well and looked on it and received instruction. He said, I looked at it and I said, I took something home from this site. I'm going to take this home. And this is the lesson that he got. A little sleep, a little slumber, low folding of the hands to rest. That constituted the lesson, and I could just apply it to you this way. Hebrews 2:1 says this to me and to you. Says this to young and old. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Indeed. This person, you know, the way this reads, look at your Bible there at Proverbs 23 and verse 33. The way this reads, we think that this person, this was not a person who necessarily wanted this to happen. They didn't say, I want to turn my inheritance into a wasteland. This person, who is now void of understanding, that doesn't mean that he never knew better previously. I think almost all the people in Israel who were farmers generation after generation, they knew, okay, there's certain things you have to do to get some fruit out of this land. I mean, everybody knows this. This is not new things that no one ever knew, no one ever told us. We never saw any examples of this. The fact is, they saw examples of it everywhere. So, this person is now void of understanding. And one of the things that Solomon learned, the clear instruction, is this, that big problems have little beginnings. Look, please, at verse 33. Notice how this is breathed out by the Spirit. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands. A little. And what do you think he's saying? This guy has a huge problem. His whole inheritance is overgrown, infested with thorns, infested with nettles. The barriers are broken down. The fences need... This whole thing needs to be rebuilt. How did that happen? Not all at once. The Spirit says it happened a little this, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. In other words, it sounds like a person who said, well, I intend to get to this. I am going to get to this. In a little while, I'm going to get to this. A little while. Well, a little while went by. He said, well, in another little while, I'll get to this. And a little more time went by. He said, well, a little more time, and I'll get to this. Well, he never got to it. And he's still not to it. And every day, things are now getting faster and faster is his whole inheritance being consumed. I wonder if there is a parallel to this in our politics, if it hasn't gradually just... So we didn't intend to have all these trillions of debt, but you know, you got to do what you got to do and all. So why isn't this man in his field like he should be, working out his salvation with fear and trembling? Is it because he's sick? No, he's not sick. Is it because he's helping someone else? He said, well, I'm going to help my neighbor or my cousin. No, he's not helping his neighbor or his cousin. That's not what's wrong with him. He's slothful. He's lazy. He is lazy about this working out his inheritance. Philippians, Paul told that church, we call it the joy epistle, Philippians. He said in the Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Well, effort is required. You can see that much. Work it out with a disposition. Even those dear people at Philippi, good people, he said, don't forget there's something to fear. And I wonder if you have this conviction that you really are your own worst enemy. How many of you think, truth be told, when you sift the whole thing out, if you want to rank the enemies, you're your own worst enemy? How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. It's true. Now, do you have any scriptures that tell you that? Well, we looked at one in the earlier hour, Leviticus, beginning at verse 10, chapter 10, verse 2, or up to Leviticus 16, it's an inclusion. It just describes what human beings can produce. The only things they're capable of producing are unclean lepers. I mean, that's what that passage says. Not only so, but he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but sin that dwells in me. And he said, in Galatians 5, the flesh lusts against the spirit every once in a while or all the time. Not once in a while, all the time. The flesh and spirit never agree. This is why it's hard for you to get your spiritual tools and cultivate a crop. Spiritual lazy is a natural evil. We read this earlier. Let me read it to you once again. Listen to, this is when Israel was on a roll, we could say, a spiritual roll. Listen to it in Joshua 18 and verse 3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to possess the land? Do you see that even in their best state, there was a tendency to be slack? I want to ask you to turn over and read again where we read earlier. Would you turn to 2 Peter? 2 Peter and chapter 1, we read this earlier. And it says this. Since you have, in verse 4, become partaker of a divine nature, you have new possibilities and new responsibilities. Okay. So our subject this morning, on the last Sunday of 2020, is this. Looking back. Okay, so what kind of spiritual farmer were you last year? Well, looking ahead, this you're at the beginning of a new year. I like New Year's. I know that we can make resolutions and forget them, but I would take all the help I can get. And to me, a new calendar is a help. I like the new year. I will take all the help I can get in making fresh resolves to take a little extra time. That's one thing you're supposed to do on the Lord's Day, is take time and do this and look back. Look ahead, and I want to tell you about the last look in just a minute, but it's not, I need all these new disciplines. Well, you probably do need new disciplines. I probably need new disciplines, but I don't think that's the main thing you need. You do need those, but I want to talk about the look up in just a minute at the end. Would you listen to this? Is there anything here that we really don't understand? And beside this, giving all diligence. So Solomon went by the vineyard. He said, I'll tell you who lives here. Look at him. That is a fool void of understanding. Some of you have been a Christian a while, and you can talk with people and in a short time discern sometimes and say, wow. This guy says he's a Christian. Man, something is missing in this far. Look at verse 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience. Well, these are all really easy, aren't they? Or are they? And maybe that's why we don't get to them. How many of you who are under 20, between 12 and 20, believe that God wants you to add virtue and knowledge? He does. All of us, of course. This isn't something to wait for way later on. Today is a good day to begin. To knowledge, temperance. Temperance means self-mastery. I don't want to get out of bed, but I must get out of bed. And things like that. And to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. So it sounds to me like brotherly kindness and charity are things you have to work at, don't they? You have to work at those. You have to aim at those to hit them. So your calling is like that of a Hebrew landowner. You are to work out your salvation. You don't work for your salvation, but you work it out. So, again, this is the last Lord's Day of 2020, and our sermon is looking back, looking up, looking ahead, and looking up. Do you have weeds to pull? When are you going to seriously take planting those specific spiritual crops the Holy Spirit has just told us about? He said, you plant them. You know somewhat what those are. When are you going to get to this? How long can you risk not getting to this? So I want to urge you to this. Hardly anything will stretch you, grow you, and bless others like starting to evangelize. So we have here ultimate questions. I hope all of you will take some. You paid for these. You pay, these are yours. You paid for them. I just ordered them. You pay for them. I realize that it takes a certain amount of spiritual courage to do this, but I want to urge you to give some of these out, people, and say, just say to the lady at Walmart, can I give you something good to read when you get a minute? Almost always they'll say thanks. Or take some with you. And take some. Give some out. Even if you just say, can I give you something to read when you get a minute? And practically all of you have a pleasant disposition, and it's very rare, even now, that they're going to say, no, what did you give me that for? Almost always, they're going to say thanks. Almost always. Okay, so I want to urge you to do that. And then you might just ask, some of you might be a bit bolder and ask, say, by the way, are you interested in spiritual things at all? And some of them may really surprise you. In either way, some of them will surprise you when they just say, no, I never think about it. And others will say, yeah, you know, I have been thinking about this. So let me conclude this way. As you look at something like this, the spiritual vineyard and all the thorns grown over, and really, the laziness is just there. Even in Joshua's day, it's hard to imagine it could have been clearer. And Joshua says to these people, he loves these people. He says, how long are you going to be slack? When are you going to rise up and take what belongs to you and get going with God's plan for your life? And he has to rouse them. So it's there. Don't be surprised if your flesh is lazy. But when we consider something like this, your mind may jump to the subject of scheduling and discipline. And well, it should, because there's just such a thing as the necessity of scheduling and discipline. However, I just want to say a word about the last thing, looking up. I do not think that scheduling and discipline is the first thing to do. This is good, but not the first thing. The goal, I hope, for the coming year is not merely to be more busy with spiritual things. What the Hebrews needed, they were in serious danger about this. And he said to them, we ought to give the earnest heed to what we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We should drift away is the idea. And that is what happened to this guy's vineyard. It just drifted. He didn't say, well, I don't care anything about this. Let the whole thing go. It sounds like it happened little by little, and he knew better. And then he said to the Hebrews, he said, look, if we drift away, how are we going to escape the results of neglecting salvation? And the obvious answer is no, we won't. So what did he say now? Now I want you to get a new planner and make a list of things to do. Well, that would probably be a very good thing. I'm going to do that. Okay, but that isn't what first thing he told the Hebrews. He said, you need a real long look at the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom you are called into fellowship with. That is probably what you need more than anything else. Buy the planner. Do the scheduling. All good. I hope as it's be the best if it's a result of a clear look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of your salvation, who bought you, who loves you, who you're going to give account to. That's what you need. So the Hebrews needed a long look at Jesus Christ with this attitude. You created me. You bought me. Show me afresh how to live my life. Help me do those things you have already showed me. Lots of us already know many things we should do. I really don't need a whole bunch of new things. I need to be revived in the things I already know. And of course, it would be good to learn other things too. Many years ago, President Reagan was running, I think, for his second term. Joy and I lived in Chattanooga. And I saw this. It was a political advertisement. And it said, "If not us, who? If not now, when?" I thought, that's a good saying. Folks, isn't that a good saying for the end of the year? I'm sorry that I got it from the politics, but sometimes these things overlap in our stuff. Folks, that's a good saying today. Today is the Lord's Day. Today, you probably have some time to look back over this last year. Today, you can look ahead to the next year. Buy the planner. Yes, schedule. Yes, get a planner. Yes. But this isn't today also, wasn't it supposed to have some measure of rest, if possible, so you could look to the Lord? I mean, Him personally. Shall we bow for prayer? So, it's between you and the Lord for your own personal soul. I don't have any particular person in mind. I have myself in mind and everybody in mind in preparing this. As the Lord talked to you, made clear to you, you got some weeds to pull. You have some thorny behavior you need to trim back. You need to do some serious planting on some of these very things. And you just talk to the Lord. I mean, this is what it's for. It's your life. He's given it to you. The happiest people are people who are making some effort and resting in the Lord at the same time. So, Lord, we come to you and give you thanks for a great salvation. We give you thanks for all the scriptures. We thank you for this passage today. We pray you help us today to look back this past year. We do pray you help us to be better schedulers. But, Lord, we ask that you would help us to look unto you, to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, would you enable us this day by your Spirit to look afresh to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the express image of your person. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, if we have people here who yet do not know you, are just religious, just brought up in Christian families, but are not regenerate persons, do not know what communion with you is about, we ask that not one would perish. You'd open their eyes. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, I want to end this on a...